Well, the Big 12's national championship odds took a huge blow this past week. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. Thanks for joining us, as always. So this has been a horrific week for the league when it comes to its national championship odds. JT Toppin tore his ACL on Tuesday night in that loss to Arizona State. Let's be honest. Texas Tech can't get to a Final Four without JT Toppin. He was in the conversation for Player of the Year in college basketball. He is as good as it gets right now and as important a piece of his team as anybody in the league or in the country for that matter. I mean, even Darren Peterson at KU doesn't mean to the Jayhawks as the future number one pick in the NBA draft, most likely, what JT Toppin means to Texas Tech. They were a team that was starting to develop their bench. All season long, we talked about Tech needing to develop its bench. But you couldn't do any of it without JT Toppin. Yeah, I love Christian Anderson. Great player. Christian Anderson with JT Toppin, that's a Final Four team. Christian Anderson leading the way by himself is not. It's not. And I'm not saying that to rag on Tech. It's just a reality. You're talking about losing a Player of the Year candidate to a torn ACL. It's not going to happen. And you have this in the wake of Richie Saunders at BYU tearing his ACL last weekend. And you have a back-to-back massive injuries for the Big 12, and it has a major impact in the Big 12 title race. And also, of course, what's going to happen with the Big 12 come March Madness. Because we talked about this six-team behemoth at the top of the conference. It's Houston, it's Arizona, it's Iowa State, it's Kansas, it's Texas Tech, and it's BYU. That was the behemoth that we had over the last few weeks that we talked a lot about. Now, BYU hit the skids, then the Richie Saunders things happens, and you're like, okay, I mean, they've got AJ, nice, great, top three pick in the NBA draft. They've lost two straight. And now you got one of your best players who is not in a position to go out there and play anymore. He's done. It's over. He's finished. And I don't think they can get very far without Richie Saunders. If BYU gets to a Sweet 16 at this point, that is a massive success. Massive. And excuse me, BYU has won two straight after losing four in a row. So they're getting back on track, albeit against Baylor and Colorado, but whatever. They're going into, obviously, a big game this week. But when you think about where this goes from here for BYU, where it goes for Texas Tech, the ceiling for both of these teams is now what? To me, the ceiling for each of these teams is the second weekend. It's the Sweet 16. And 2 weeks ago, you said, hey, Tech's got maybe the best 1-2 punch, just purely 1-2 punch in Anderson and Toppin, or I should say Toppin and Anderson, in the entire Big 12, maybe the best 1-2 punch in the country. And now you're like, okay, what do we do here with this now? Because without him in there, without this guy able to make some noise and be the player that we all know he can be, Tech's ceiling is the second weekend. Even though, yes, they have nice pieces growing around him, you're not going to lose a guy like that and just replace him. Same thing with BYU and Saunders. So this has been a very difficult stretch for the Big 12, because the Big 12 was just hitting its stride. The Big 12 wisely set up this schedule that was backloaded with amazing games. I mean, we've seen them play out the last couple of weeks, right? I'm losing track of the days, but it's like, okay, we had the big Monday game, Houston, Iowa State. We had last Saturday, Kansas and Iowa State playing each other. What do we have? The big Monday game before that was Kansas and Arizona. All these games start to mold together. Coming up this weekend, what do we have on Saturday? We've got Arizona taking on Houston on the road. We've got Iowa State at BYU. Some of these games have lost some of their juice. Iowa State at BYU has lost some of that juice. And that's just a reality when you're talking about, first off, teams falling out of the race because they're losing some of their best players now in the process. And I think it's just bad luck. I have no reason to believe it's anything but bad luck, but boy, it is bad luck, and it's coming at the worst time, because now the Big 12 feels like it's really down to probably three teams, Houston, Arizona, and Iowa State. Not that Kansas isn't still in the mix. They still are. They lost that game to Iowa State on the road last week. They still get to play Arizona and Houston, so they still have chances to beat two of the teams in front of them in the standings. They had the split series with Iowa State this year, so KU's still in the mix. I should probably throw them in there. That's not fair. They're a game and a half back. But you're down from six to four teams, and four teams that you feel like now can make a legitimate deep run in the NCAA tournament when it was six a couple of weeks ago. And that's just it doesn't change how many teams are going to make the NCAA tournament from the Big 12. That's not what this is about. The bubble is still going to be some combination of UCF, throw in there, West Virginia, TCU. I mean, they're still all fighting on that bubble. But you were looking at a scenario where the Big 12 could have had, in a perfect world, two, dare I say three teams in the Final Four. If the brackets broke just right, this league was going to have at least a one seed, potentially two number two seeds, and at least one three seed. You get the right draw, you are well positioned for a deep run in the tournament. And it's just like the SEC in college football. The more teams you get in, you're simply just playing the math. You are increasing your likelihood of ending up in a situation where, what? You've got the best chance to get as many teams deep in the tournament as possible. That's all it is. It's a numbers game. And the Big 12, despite not having the most teams in the Big Dance, most likely, I mean, the bracketology guys have the Big 12 with seven or eight teams in there, and they've got the Big 10 and the SEC and the ACC with more, which conversation for another day. But you look at it, and you say to yourself, okay, but of those seven or eight teams, six of them could have made a deep run. That's not the case anymore. And that is a big blow for the Big 12, for Brett Yormark, for the brand that he is building right now as really the dominant conference in college basketball. You also had the Big 12, you know, rolling out some different things for the tournament, like the glass court, which I think is wildly overrated. I mean, if a guy tears his ACL on that glass court in Kansas City, they might be dragging Brett Yormark out of the building. Okay? I mean, he's going to need security to get out of that place. If we have Richie Saunders last week, JT Toppin this week, and God forbid a big star tears an ACL on that glass court, I mean, I hope Yormark's got top-level security in Kansas City when he comes up. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. He's doing a great job as the commissioner, but people are asking questions about the glass court. And I believe that players are looking around the league. They've seen what's happened to two of the biggest stars, and they're going to say, you know, glass court, I know it's supposed to be all great and everything's going to be good and, you know, injury, no problem, blah, 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 but come on. Come on, guys. It makes you think, even if it feels the same, it makes you think you're on something different, right? You've had that experience. I do. I do this every day. Radio show, this show on Heartland College Sports. Like, when I use a different pair of headphones for my radio show, it feels different. I might as well be 1,000 miles away in a different building. If I don't have my headphones, I'm thrown off. Even though it does the same thing, it accomplishes the same thing, there's nothing different about a different pair of headphones. I mean, I can hear the sound levels however I want to hear them, but it's not what I'm used to. And my fear is that you'll get some of that in Kansas City with this glass floor, and no one's going to be able to pinpoint it. But if you're talking about movements that are just slightly different here and there, right? Just little changes here and there. Guys are reacting slightly differently. Could that lead to injuries? Possible. Entirely possible. So just something to be thinking about. I'm not trying to scare anybody here, but I do think that this conversation does all come together. Now, DJ Khaled, speaking of the Big 12 tournament, is going to be doing an after party at the Big 12. So you tell me, does that excite you, DJ Khaled? Kind of cool, I guess. But yeah, he's going to headline the official Big 12 tournament after party, presented by Venmo. It will be free for the fans, And the Big 12 tournament is obviously very excited about this. Brett Yormark is pumping this up, as is the Big 12. And it's all about building entertainment around the tournament itself. They've done a good job with this. They had Shaq out there the last couple of years. There was a private party with, I'm blanking on his name, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they had a private party with some, who was it? A washed up rapper. Fat Joe. That's right. It was Fat Joe. Sorry, Fat Joe, but let's be honest. What else would you call him? If you couldn't think of Fat Joe's name, would you do what I did and just said, who's that washed up rapper? I mean, there's a lot of them, but that was Fat Joe. Did a nice job, put on a good show, but that's what he is, right? So it's going to be a great scene in Kansas City. The tournament belongs in Kansas City. But there are going to be now a lot of questions going into this tournament about what it's going to look like, the entertainment around it, and who actually is in a position to ultimately win it. And I do think we are now down to four teams who can realistically win this thing and make deep runs in the big dance. And that's Houston, Arizona, Iowa State, and Kansas headlining that list. I'm Pete Mundo. Hey, please make sure that you like this video and you are subscribed to the channel if you are a Big 12 basketball fan. We will have a lot of content coming your way as we ramp up towards March Madness, so make sure you hop in and join the show. Let me touch on this for a couple of minutes, and that's what's going on the football field. Yeah! Whoa! I'm okay!
Hey, do you love adventure? Do you love outdoor sports? Would you like to learn more and hear from amazing adventure athletes from all over the world? If so, then check out the Adventure Sports Podcast. We've been the premier platform for sharing adventure for more than 10 years now. We help you get your adventure on. Look for the Adventure Sports Podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Get out there and have some fun.
Texas has bailed on a home-and-home series with the Arizona State Sun Devils. Texas has requested to get out of its 2033 home-and-home football series with the Sun Devils. The matchup would have featured a return trip between the programs after they got to the college football playoff and met each other there last year. Instead, it looks like it's not going to happen. Now, why? What's the deal behind that? Well, let's be honest. The SEC moved to 9 conference games. So the SEC has probably decided, why are we going to play legitimate Power Four competition in the non-conference? They don't have to, and they don't want to, because, by the way, the SEC is going to have its back, and ESPN is going to have its back. Do it, and the SEC is still going to be taken care of. Why would they go out there and play this game? The SEC is going to 9 conference games. Now, this also means, though, that it jeopardizes future home-and-homes with Florida and LSU. And now you got to look at the rest of the Big 12 schedule. If your team is scheduled to take on a school out of the SEC in a future home-and-home, I wouldn't be shocked if it got canceled. Now, it's too bad, because this is what I think benefits the SEC. It hurts the Big 12, because the only way for the Big 12 to gain more credibility is to win some of these games on or against SEC teams in non-conference play. That's what has to happen here. And now, if you don't have the opportunity to do that, well, what are you going to do about it, right? How's it going to play out for you? So those are the things that need to be addressed and figured out. How does the Big 12 fix this? The obvious thing the Big 12 can do is start winning playoff games. You got to win these playoff games, guys. I know Arizona State put its best foot forward. That would have been a huge win over Texas last year, and they should have beaten Texas, okay? I'll say it till I'm in the grave. They should have beaten Texas in that game. Refs really helped them out towards the end in that fourth quarter. Texas Tech getting clobbered by Oregon, terrible look. TCU versus Georgia in the national championship game almost made the semifinal loss or the semifinal win over Michigan overshadowed by the way they lost that game to Georgia. Oklahoma, I know they're gone, but OU losing every time they got to the college football playoff, that was a bad look for the Big 12. And no one else is really getting there, so now you've got to figure out how you're going to start winning some of these games. That's it. You won't have the non-conference opportunities that you had because they're going to be squeezed out. The SEC is going to say, I'm not playing a 10th Power 4 game. The SEC was at 8 league games. They would have 2 or 3 FCS or Group of 5 games on the schedule because they were the almighty SEC. And now, you know what? They can do more of that and say, we're doing 9 conference games. Don't look at us. It's not our job to give the Big 12 a chance to get a win. So that's how we end up where we're at. That's how this all continues to play out, where the SEC gets to protect itself, and no one's going to call them out on it, right? I mean, no one's going to say a peep about this stuff. You know that, and I know that. I mean, I'll say it. I'll have the conversation. I'm here. I've been saying this for 10 years at this point, since I started this first, what was a blog at Heartland College Sports, and obviously has turned into a lot more than that. But it's very obvious what this is all about. And it's also very obvious the SEC knows it's well protected when it comes to their requests to bail on Power 4 games against other teams out of the Big 12 and elsewhere. So they have nothing to lose in any of this. They'll be taken care of and they'll be protected. Pete Mundo with you on Heartland College Sports. Man, it is great to be here. I don't know how your weather has been. It has been awesome in Kansas City the last couple of weeks. We have gotten like late March weather in the first half of February. It has just been fantastic. So hopefully you're getting some of that good weather. By the way, I want to note this. If you are a viewer or a listener in my old stomping grounds, Woodward, Oklahoma, Southwest Kansas, I saw had a lot of these wildfires break out on Tuesday. Ashland, Kansas, I saw Clark County was in there. The Texas Panhandle got hit pretty hard with some of the wind and fires and whatnot. Hooker, Oklahoma. I called a lot of high school basketball and football down in that part of the world early in my career. I've been to Ashland, Kansas, population maybe 1,500. I worked and lived in Woodward. I called Hooker games. I mean, I've been all over that part of the world and know it very well. So I know you guys had evacuation orders in parts of Southwest Kansas, Northwest Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle. No, we're thinking about you. We're praying for you. I know it was a tough week for a lot of you, and it looks like it could have been a lot worse. At least as of this conversation, it looks like it could have been a lot worse. So if you are in that part of the world, drop us a note. Feel free to drop me an email, PeteMundo@HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Whatever information you want to share, we will gladly pass it on because we've got a lot of listeners and viewers in that part of the country, and it's my old stomping grounds, and anything I can do to get the word out and help, I am happy to do here at Heartland College Sports. So thank you for your continued loyalty, viewership, listenership, and we're thinking and praying for you this week. I'm Pete Mundo. Have a great week. We appreciate you being here. Make sure you are subscribed right now to Heartland College Sports. Have a great day.